So speaking about God's will, we'll get to the scripture, of course, Romans chapter 1, and the title of tonight's message, God's Will for Me. God's will for me. God has a very specific will, plan, purpose for us individually. Yes, of course, for mankind, but drilling all the way down to the individual level is such a very awesome thought to know just how personal our God is. But let's go to Romans chapter 1. And this is the example of Paul. He's speaking his heart's desire, you know, and just like you and I, he's got his desires, he's got his will, but of course he's going to temper it with God's will. So let's go to Romans chapter 1, and let's go to verse 10, Romans 1, verse 10. And of course, Paul would be, of course, remiss if he shared his own will and desires without referencing God's larger will. In spite of his own personal desires, he has to say this. And so Romans 1, let's go to verse 10. And the Word of God says, "My making requests, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in your house. Thank you, Father, for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for your sovereignty. We praise you, Father, that you are the God of all creation, King of kings and the Lord of lords and the one supreme being, Lord, that by you made all things and by you all things consist. And so, Father, we are so thankful to be here. We thank you for your grace in bringing us here, Lord. And even our little slip on the highway there, I just praise you that you saw fit to keep us safe. And all who are here tonight, Lord, and we just give you all the praise. Bless now the time, the preaching of your word. May we truly trust and desire your will. And Father, we are so thankful for who you are. And we just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's one of my favorite topics, if you will. You know, God's will. Because I certainly know my will. I've got plenty of that. I need more of God's will in my life. But here, of course, case in point, you know, Paul, he's a loving preacher. He loves, you know, the churches that God has used him. And, of course, he's praying every day for all these different churches. And Paul really, really wants to visit the Christians here at Rome. You know, he's writing to the Romans. You know, he's at Corinth at this point, but he's writing to them at Rome. And, in fact, he really emphasizes, essentially, by hook or by crook, I really wish I can be there, I'll do no matter what, making requests, this is his desire to God, if by any means. And so he doesn't really care how it might happen. It could be short, long, hazardous, smooth sailing. I mean, of course, that's preferred. But as far as Paul goes, really doesn't matter. Any means necessary. Everything's fair game. I just really want to see you guys. I love you guys. I want to be there and impart to you the spiritual gift. I mean, he's not going there just to hang out. He's going there for the purpose, a very noble purpose, to further the kingdom of God and to continue to strengthen the brethren. And so it's a commendable, commanded, you know, why he wants to be there. If by any means, now at length, and so it doesn't matter if it's great, you know, hardship for him to be there, he would love to do it. I might have a prosperous journey, of course, then he puts in there, by the will of God. It has to be God's will to come unto you. So he really wants to go see the Romans, the Roman church. In fact, up until this point, he has had several attempts at going, but evidently the Lord had closed the doors and didn't, you know, make it pan out that way. So it wasn't his will then, wasn't his will now, but Paul was hoping sometime soon, hopefully, Lord willing, that God would open a door where he can go to Rome and visit with them. So that's great, you know, and Paul is careful to, you know, to insert God's will here, you know, to supersede his own. He's sharing his own heart. Hey, this is my will, guys. I want to come, but again, Lord willing, if it's God's will, then it will happen, because he knows unless it's God's will, it's not going to happen. And that kind of got me thinking, do I realize just how much of a role God's will plays in my life, in our life? It's huge, you know. And in fact, a similar thing happened to Paul with his desire to go to Bithynia. In fact, if you go with me to Acts chapter 16, then verse 6 and 7, Acts chapter 16, verse 6, similar case here where he wanted to go after After going through Galatia, he wanted to go to Bithynia in Asia Minor region. But Acts 16, but the Holy Spirit closed the door there, did not lead him that way. And so let's go to verse 6. It says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Of course, we know God's will is that the whole world would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when it says forbidden to preach, I mean, it's not God's timing at this point, not God's will yet for him at this point. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. So that was their plan. But the Spirit suffered them not. So couldn't he wanted to, but God's will was otherwise. And so it kind of showed me a couple of points. Number one, even the most dedicated Christians can have different will and desires than God. I mean, that's just how the nature of us are. You know, we are fallible people. And then number two, just because something is noble and good doesn't automatically mean it's God's will or God's timing for it. Because God's will, of course, is you know, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are infinitely higher than our thoughts. And so we kind of expect to be thinking like God from that sense. And then number three, God has a active and specific will for us. I mean, it is so evidently clear. God, of course, another example, Jesus gives a great commission. Go ye into all the world and, you know, preach the gospel to every creature. So we know this, you know, Paul's doing it. But God evidently had a very specific plan, purpose, timing, will for Paul, because Paul wanted to preach the gospel there in Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit said no. So it's specific, right? And so God has a general will for all mankind, which is true, which is what gets saved. I mean, we know this. This is God's purpose for all human beings, every man, woman, and child, to get saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. That is God's absolute will for every human being. God also has his absolute will for even nations. Okay, Scripture tells us, for example, Psalm 117, verse 1, O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Psalm 32, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So that's God's will for nations, okay, for countries. But you drill down to the specific individual. This is mind-blowing when we understand and unpackage this doctrine of God's will, because God's will extends to the individual level, right down to our specific person, that how he wants to roll out his will in my life and in your life. And in this case, Paul wanted to go and said, nope, not now. Oh, wow. Didn't see that coming. But again, God reveals his will to us specifically, individually, in real time. Let's go to Jeremiah 29. This is, Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Let's turn there. God is so personal. He's so intimate with us. And God's plan with us is so specific. This was, by the way, one of my favorite verses, even just after I got saved. But Jeremiah chapter 1, of course, we know the story of Jeremiah. He's ordained of God to be a preacher. And, of course, he was a bit of a... He ended on a very good note. I mean, he's been ministering for years, faithful to God through all the adversity. But he did start at a young, tender age. And when Jeremiah first started in the ministry, he was pretty overwhelmed. Like, hey, and who's going to listen to me? I'm just a little kid. No one's going to listen to me. And God had to reassure him. But in so doing, it reveals just how specific God's plan is for you and I. And so just to get us thinking, how do we know that God has a personal plan for you and I? Well, among other things, get ready for this. God loved us before our parents met. This is pretty amazing. God loved me before my mom and dad fell in love and had me. God loved you before your parents met and got together. I mean, this is pretty amazing. If you go to verse 5 with me, and this really hit me different after my daughter, my firstborn was Elena, after she was born. Because I knew this verse before that. But when she was born and I was holding her, this verse came to mind. And God tells Jeremiah here, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Of course, we know God is the creator of life. So that's we know that. He made all of us. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So God had a plan and a purpose for Jeremiah before he was formed in the womb. But then it got me thinking, wait a minute. The only way that Jeremiah could be Jeremiah is if it's specifically his mom and dad that would come together. Half mom, half dad. The only way that my daughter Elena could be Elena, the only way she could be in existence if it's Gina and I, my wife and I. It's not just any generic couple would do. It's not just any mom and dad just randomly together would produce my, it would be someone else, but it wouldn't be her. The only way she can exist is half me, half my wife. And before that happened, God loved her. When that hit me, I thought, okay, mind blown. this is because again, there's no ifs with God, and it's attributed to His sovereignty and His foreknowledge. Again, we don't know, but God does. Okay, and the idea is because God knows, He can purpose. Because God knows, He loves. Because He loves, He can purpose. And so, before Jeremiah's mom and dad got married, God already knew. Oh, I love Jeremiah. I love him so much, and I have a plan for him. And it's not just him. It's for all of us. That's amazing. God has a plan that's unique down to our DNA. In Psalm 32, verse 8, when God is talking to the psalmist and says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That is an individual promise, not just to the psalmist. It's to all of us. A one-on-one God with a unique plan. God knows everything about us. Don't have to turn there, but Psalm 139, speaking about God's omniscience, He knows what we are thinking. Everything that we think, He knows. He knows what we're doing. He knows what we're thinking. There's not a word that He doesn't know, right? He knows it all. Matthew 10, remember Jesus says, even the hairs on our head, He's numbered. He knows. I mean, we don't know, but He knows. I mean, it's amazing how much God knows about us. And so we get to thinking God has a individual plan that He has crafted up as the master builder, the master designer for you and I to fulfill. That's great. And that's why He could tell Paul, no, not for that one. That's not my plan for you at this time, all right? And so now, so we know God's ways are not our ways, and our thoughts are not His thoughts. So how in the world can we discern God's specific will for us, right? If His ways are so above mine, how can I figure out what God's specific plan is for my life? Well, to be honest, we can't. God actually shows and reveals His plan to us in real time, okay? Now we have His plan for mankind here. We have the plan for the nations here. We have the prophecies of Christ's return here. But how it plays in our individual life, God reveals it to us in real time. That's His plan. That's how He rolls it out to us. And now that said, God does not want us to just sit idling around waiting for Him to reveal His specific will to us. Instead, when you read in the Scriptures, friends, Scripture shows us that God reveals His specific will to us as we live obeying His general will for us, right? So His general will for us, we know it's, get saved, go to church, pray, read the Bible. Okay, as we do these things faithfully, that's when God reveals His specific plan to us, okay? Perhaps, I don't know, have you ever noticed this pattern? I just jotted down some pointers here. Just different examples in the Bible of how God revealed His plan, His will to some of these individuals in the Bible. Elisha, remember he was plowing faithfully his family's field, right? The 12 yoke of oxen, that's a lot of oxen. Okay, but Elisha was plowing when Elijah came to him, right? Then, if you remember the backstory there, Elisha was one of the faithful 7,000 that had not bowed the knee to Baal. He was faithful to begin with and faithfully serving, just doing what he could do. And then Elijah comes to him, reveals God's will in Elisha's life, and it was life-changing. And then Elisha went, okay, well, that's, guess I'm moving on to my next chapter, right? And then remember Zechariah in the New Testament, John the Baptist's dad? He was still in his ripe old age serving faithfully in the temple when God came to him and revealed that he's going to be a dad. Now, this was years later. It took a long time. But he faithfully served until God's timing said, okay, your prayers are heard. And again, I preached this before. assuming he prayed as a newly married husband, like, let's, you know, it would be nice to have some kids. Now he's old, and God says, Zacharias, your prayers are heard. Like, wow, that a, you mean that prayer from back, you know, yes. Again, God's will, God's timing. Moses, remember Moses? He was shepherding his father-in-law's flock when God appeared to him. This was 40 years later after he tried to lead Israel. They didn't want him, and so he ran. And then, but again, he couldn't do that when he wanted to. But then he didn't just shelve himself. I mean, he was faithfully, you know, helping out, you know, his father-in-law, and he was blooming where God planted him, right? Paul and Barnabas, they were serving and ministering faithfully at a church at Antioch. In fact, when we turn to Acts 13, this is a good one. Acts 13. Acts 13, and look at verse 2. It says, as they, those are those in verse 1, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, Saul was already fasting and ministering in verse 1. I mean, it mentions him in verse 1, and then God's going to use him again here. But again, it's such a wonderful thing that, that praise the Lord, that they were faithful and ministering anyway. And then imagine if they were waiting for God to reveal his specific plan to them, but they were just being idle, just not being faithful, just kind of sitting around. Maybe after 10 years of waiting around, it's like, hey, you know what? We haven't heard from God. Let's just serve where we can anyway. And then they do it. And then God revealed. They're like, oh, I should have done so before, right? I mean, I'm so glad they were faithfully ministering anyway. And then that's when God revealed his plan in real time, when they were faithfully serving and obeying God in his general will for them. Remember what David was doing? David was obeying his father, Jesse, to bring food to his brethren. Of course, there he encounters a standoff with Goliath. And then we know the rest is history, right? He kills Goliath. and of course, God's timing, this is, God orchestrated this after David had killed the bear and the lion, right? Maybe he wondered why. Well, this is why, for such a time as this. How about Joseph? Joseph obeyed his dad to go check on his brothers. Next thing you know, bam, he's sold like a slave, ends up in Potiphar's house. Next thing you know, he's wrongly accused. Next thing you know, he's saving Egypt. Next thing you know, his brothers are bowing down. Like, what? How did I get here? Now, they meant it for evil. God meant it for good. But the last thing he remembered was, hey, son, can you do me a favor? Go check on your brothers, make sure they feel like, okay, sure thing, Dad. And that was it. He was just obeying his dad. But that was when God revealed his specific will to him in real time, when he's obeying God's general will for us. Of course, honor mom and dad. That was what he was doing. Same thing as Esther. She was obeying Mordecai, and she was very submissive to him, and as her adopted father. Next thing you know, she's queen. Like, what? And of course, for such a time as this, now she's going to intervene and save the nation. Wow, that's amazing. God's specific plan. Ruth, how about Ruth? She was honoring her mother-in-law, serving obediently and faithfully, and wanted to take care of her. Next thing you know, God led her to Boaz. You know, and the rest is history. Again, God reveals his life-changing will to his children in real time when we are, Lord willing, faithfully living and obediently obeying his present will. And, well, among other things, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. This is God's present will for us. So make sure we're doing this. And then God reveals his specific plan to us in real time. And so 1 Thessalonians 5. And again, when I say God's specific will, it's, you know, things that God has a will for me that's not the same for you. It's not the same for your neighbor. You know, it was David to be king, not his brother. Okay, both can be saved. Okay, but it's God's specific will. Now, God's general will are the part of God's will that we all share. So it doesn't matter who we are, we got to go to church. Doesn't matter who we are, we got to abstain from all appearance of evil, that kind of thing. So 1 Thessalonians 5, God's will for all Christians. 1 Thessalonians 5. And then verse 16 says it very well here. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, doesn't matter who we are. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Yes, sir. Praise God, be thankful we're saved, serve faithfully, quench not the spirit, the Lord will lead us. Despise not prophesying, that's the word of God. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good from what we hear, from the prophesying. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be faithful until we see Christ. What a reminder. Live for God. Be faithful to him. And remember, well, we know this, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. So we have to live by faith. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we know that when we live by faith and obedience, we know that God is a rewarder. He delights in mercy. He loves to bless us. Now, we do it to glorify him. That's our heart's desire, is to see him magnified. But we know that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If we diligently seek him, he will be found of us. So let's go to Romans 15. Now, this is Paul kind of capping it off. He started off in chapter 1 saying, hey, I really wish I can see you guys by the will of God. And then he repeats it in the close of the letter. So let's go to Romans 15. And then the last few verses there, verse 30. Romans 15, verse 30. Because we're going to see how this plays out. I mean, Paul's, again, going to share his heart's desire, his will, his prayer. And then we'll see how God actually makes it happen in real life. So verse 30, Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit. So this is big time here. not for Paul's love, not for Paul's sake, for Christ's sake, and by Holy Spirit love, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Boy, he really desires their prayers, right? And strive, I mean, that's a strong word. That's a go against the current, you know, that's go against the tide, to really put all effort to it. Yep. Pedal to the metal, because this is not autopilot. This is purposeful and driven together with me. Come on, guys, let's go. In your prayers to God for me, I need your prayers. What do you want us to pray for, Paul? That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. So, in fact, in verse 31 and 32, Paul is going to share really three of his prayer requests. You know, Paul has three prayer requests. Number one is that he would be delivered from the unbelieving Jews, those that are out to kill him. Okay, they hate him, they hate his guts, they want to kill him. And so they're, you know, what a testimony for Paul. Of course, he got truly converted, truly saved, became a new creature in Christ. But every time he ministered and reached out in love and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ and led many to everlasting life, just one step behind him were the enemy destroying, you know, seeking to destroy him. So he's just one step ahead of death, just like David. And so that's his first prayer request. Pray that, you know, God would deliver me from these murderous Jews that want to kill me, okay? The unbelievers. That's number one. Number two, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. And so number two, can you please pray with me that the Jewish believers in Jerusalem would accept the Gentile gift? I don't want them to feel weird. I don't want them to turn it down. You know, I want them to receive it out of love. Again, the Gentiles, they're so thankful that they got the Messiah, that he's their Messiah too. The least they can do is be a blessing to you in material, you know, things. And so they wanted to give a love offering. Paul is bringing the love offering from the Gentiles to the poor Jewish believers in Jerusalem. So that's number two, pray that they receive it. And then number three, verse 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God. So he repeats what we did in chapter 1, verse 10, and may with you be refreshed. So these are his three prayer requests. Now, how did it play out? Yes, God did deliver Paul. He totally did deliver Paul from the murderous Jews, but it probably wasn't the way he expected, because when you read in Acts, they wanted to murder and capture Paul, and Paul was rescued by Roman soldiers who then arrested him and took him to Rome, where he was in prison for 2 years, which was his house arrest, which he got used mightily as well. But that's how he ended up being delivered from the Jews, was by Roman arrest. Again, might not have been thinking it that way. And then en route to Rome, which is where he wanted to go, probably not the way he thought, but he ended up going to Rome. Indeed, God answered all three of these requests, but he ended up going to Rome by way of ship, and he was a prisoner And he was, by the way, shipwrecked along the way, almost died. Okay, and so you have all this story. He ended up over here and make his way up. And so you have all that drama. But God did answer the prayers. And so it was by God's will. And he did get to Rome. And he, for 2 years, house arrest, he got to visit with those Roman believers. In the rest of chapter 16 talks about them by name. I'm guessing they showed up. And this jives with the last chapter of Acts, where they would visit him throughout the year, throughout the 2 years. And so praise the Lord. God answered his prayers. You know, but not always the will that we think, right? And so, again, what a comfort. I know in the end of it all, we know that Paul could only praise God and rejoice in the Lord for what he accomplished. That, wow, here I am. I mean, can you imagine Paul finally getting to Rome and then the believers there at Rome finally seeing Paul and like, hey, you made it. It's God's will. He's like, yeah, let me tell you about God's will. and then he can tell them what happened, you know, the shipwreck. And they almost pulled me apart there. There's this whole mob, you know, they just went bananas. But then there's this, the Roman soldiers that rescued me. They were about to torture me. But then they found out I was a Roman. Like, oop, how bad, you know? And all this story that glorifies God. Could not have thought of it any other way, but God did. God has a specific plan, purpose, will for you and I, down to the individual level, and He reveals it to us. Now we pray for it, but He reveals it to us in real time, when we are living faithfully, obediently to His general will for us. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a blessing, Lord, to be in Thy house. Let us always be faithful to Your calling, Lord, to be thankful for who You are, and that we ask that Your will be done in us and through us. We do pray for souls to be saved, and for the nation to have, to truly our nation, to turn to You, Lord. And then for us individually, that we'll be found faithful, just serving where You have us, just blooming where You plant us, Lord. And we give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.